Walt up to the Road Rage. We're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. We are back. We have a lot of interesting questions on the text line and comments. You can get in. Actually, now's a good time for you to get in on the phone lines if you want. 654-7627. I want to go back for a minute to a texter. Good grief. I don't know how many texts back this is. But I don't know if this is one person or two people who sent this. I'm thinking it was two people. Because I see, I think there were two people who asked me about comparing Lawrence to Chester McLaughlin. Chester McLaughlin left this world much too soon. Big man family. Chester McLaughlin, as a football player, when he wanted to be great, he was as unblockable as anyone who's ever played. He was a lot like Albert Haynesworth in terms of who he was as a player. He was a huge, physical, explosive man who moved way better than a guy his size should move. His motor at times was up and down. And that's why I think the comparison to Haynesworth is valid, because when those two guys, let me put it this way, there were times in the National Football League where Chester McLaughlin was as unblockable an interior defensive lineman as there was in the game, just as there were times where that was true about Albert Haynesworth. At their best, they were two of the best that ever played. Look, that's a really great name. And people, and somebody asked about Fridge Perry. He's another of those guys. I think Chester McLaughlin was more talented even, but Fridge was an enormous man, incredibly powerful, incredibly athletic. They were both so great in terms of what they could do that Michael Dean Perry was great too, for that matter. Those were incredible players, an incredible time in Clemson football history, but those are fair comparisons. That's a really nice job by you guys on the text line. And then there's this, Ramona. Texter has, clear this up for me, Walt, please, once and for all. Is it pronounced Cleveland Farrell or Furl? It is Furl. Don Munson is the only guy who's had it right all along. And why? Because Don went to the source. People thought Don had a speech impediment. No, that wasn't it. It was always Furl. It was always Furl. It's pronounced F-U-R-L. That's how it's pronounced. That's a fact. So you trust in Don Munson. He's the guy who's going to have all those names right for you all the time. I mean, he's there. He's the source. He would know. He asked him. That's it. He asked him how you pronounce it. And Cleveland told him how you pronounced it. And basically the rest of us had it wrong all along. We spelled it phonetically. It's pronounced Furl, F-U-R-L. Don Munson, the guy who's had it right all along. You don't run a Dexter, Jevin and Manning asked, what about Vince Wilfork? He was a force. Vince Wilfork was a force. You know, and that reminds you of something, Ramona. Something I retweeted the other day. Vince Wilfork, the former Patriots nose tackle.
Uh-huh.
He's watching the football game, right? And Tony Romo was doing the broadcast.
Yeah.
And Vince Wilfork wrote something to the effect, I retweeted it and liked it. He wrote something to the effect of, like, you know, nothing funnier than Tony Romo telling Tom Brady what Tom Brady needs to do. You know, that ranks so true to me. I mean, Because I know, like, the world seems to love Romo as an announcer. I liked him as a player.
I don't like him as an announcer.
I despise him as an announcer. I just despise him. First of all, I can't stand his whiny little voice. That's the first thing. I mean, it's just, I can't even get past that. Forget what he says, all right? And I think his voice is high. Yes, and I think what he says is largely overrated. I mean, he's master the obvious to me. So you know, that's the way I see it. But Vince Wilfork basically put, you know, he put like 20 of those emojis, like, you know, the cracking up, laughing, hysterical emojis.
Yeah.
The notion of Tony Romo talking about what Tom Brady needs to do. Yeah, 100% right. But yeah, Jeff, that's a good call. He is Vince Wilfork was a dominant physical force at the point of attack. Let me get Clemson Dad in here. In fact, I don't think the Patriots have really replaced Vince Wilfork, honestly. I think Malcolm Brown was supposed to be that guy, but by and large, he has not played up to that level. Now, the Patriots are basically at this point of the year saying, we're not going to let anybody run the ball on us anymore. That defense has transformed significantly, as you would expect a Bill Belichick defense to do. I want to get back to some of these games from this weekend, and then I want to talk a little bit more. Texas, Walt, do you see a comparison between Fletcher Cox and Dexter Lawrence? No. Cox is a really different, versatile type of defensive lineman that you could line up anywhere. He's not in that Dexter Lawrence weight range, but he's much more explosive in terms of getting up the field. And Fletcher Cox also does a good job redirecting, which at one point in his career when he was in college, I didn't think was always the case. But Fletcher Cox has become one of the truly dominant defensive linemen in the National Football League. And by the way, he was a big loss for the Eagles in that game. You know, the Saints lost Rankins and Philly lost Cox. Those are both enormous losses in that football game. Because Cox is one of the, you know, three or four best defensive linemen probably in the NFL. Clemson Dad.
Deb Tula, how are you?
Good, Clemson Dad. Appreciate you getting in.
Oh, no problem. I've been, obviously, you know me, I'm looking on the internet at stuff. I'm off work. And the CBS website has this new mock draft now that your boy Kyler is declared for the NFL draft.
Uh-huh.
They got him at number 7. They got the defensive guy. Well, actually got Dwayne Haskins at QB at number 2 for Ohio State. Nick Bosa number 1. But they got Kyler Murray at 7 going to the Giants. Or number 6, I'm sorry, going to the Giants.
Well, hey, look.
Not be exciting?
Well, I mean, I've already laid that out. You know, I laid that out.
I must have missed that.
Well, I've laid it out in here twice now. Once last week, once this week. The notion that I think Kyler Murray, if you're going to be innovative, would make the Giants impossible to defend. And I've explained why. I think, you know, obviously I covered this before CBS did. I think if you think about the skill position weapons that the Giants have right now, Saquon Barkley, and if you put in a Kansas City style offense and you utilize Murray on a lot of boots and waggle passes, you put Murray with Saquon Barkley, I don't know how anyone's defending that pairing. I just don't know.
But crazy Odell out on the
Well, right. Too. But Barkley is so great out of the backfield. And then they have incredible wide receiver talent, and they have Evan Engram at tight end, who is, you know, really a giant wide receiver with 4.4 speed. So
right.
They have weapons everywhere. You could easily build a Kansas City-style offense around Kyler Murray with the Giants, and they would be almost impossible to defend.
I agree. That'd be exciting, I think. We'll see how it goes.
Yep.
I saw something where he's got 72 hours to change his mind or something.
Yeah.
Does that start, like, once we found out about it, or did it start?
Yeah,
Friday
the
Saturday?
Players have till midnight tonight to get their paperwork in, and everything starts at that point.
Okay, I got you. All right, this is kind of way out in the future. I know the AFC championships this weekend, but they're projecting the coldest NFL game ever, Walt. How do you think that would affect the game? Obviously, probably bring the overall points total down.
I had not seen that. You're telling me that the game in Kansas City is being projected to be the coldest NFL game ever?
They're projecting 10 degrees or minus zero.
Well, minus zero? You mean zero?
Yeah.
Zero. But that would
10 degrees or minus zero.
Okay, but that wouldn't be closest to the coldest game ever. That's not even in the universe of the coldest game ever.
I must have misread it, man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe the coldest game ever in Kansas City.
Maybe.
Maybe that's it. Because
maybe it's the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, that could be. There's got to be some other caveat to that. There's got to be some other addendum.
But that's still pretty cold, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I don't know, you know, I don't know who it would favor. I don't think it would favor anybody because you have two teams that are accustomed to playing in cold weather. I'm not sure that the weather would favor one team versus the other.
The coldest they're showing on
By the way, a texter just wrote me and said, yes, that it's being projected to be the coldest game ever in Kansas City.
Yeah, the last, in 1916, 1 degree, and then 08, 10 degrees.
No, we've had games played at like 40 below.
Really?
With wind chill and, yeah, ice bowl.
Maybe that's wind chill. This could be just the coldest outright temperature.
No, people are writing me now saying, no, that's that it is just in Kansas City. It's supposed to be the coldest game ever recorded in Kansas City.
Okay, that makes sense. But that's still very cold.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's not conducive to high-flying offense, which is, again...
No,
that's why...
They're not calling for any weather that I see, just cold.
Right. Yeah, and that's why at this time of the year, it still benefits you to be able to run the ball to some degree, because sometimes weather dictates terms.
Well, the ball's hard either way, I bet.
Yeah.
Well...
Again, to my way of thinking... I think, if anything, I think it favors New England.
Do you?
Yeah, because New England can run the ball, and Kansas City can't.
Yeah, that's true.
And Kansas City's not going to run on New England. I mean, Kansas City couldn't run the ball last week, and they're definitely not running on New England. Right now, and look, I think New England's going to have to defend Kansas City in a much different way than they defended San Diego, but... New England's flooding the line of scrimmage with guys, and then they're dropping them out in coverage. But what New England's not going to let you do is they're not going to let you run the ball on first down. They certainly didn't let
Kansas City could have used a running back this weekend.
Yeah, I think this is exactly when Hunt was injured. I thought that was the potential game changer, and I still do, because in all honesty, if Kansas City had Hunt, I am probably picking Kansas City to win this game. But without Hunt, I think New England's going to win.
And you got Brady and Belichick.
Yep, exactly. Thank you, Clemson right, Dad. Appreciate it. Let me get... by the way, Texter wrote me, Ramona. Where'd it go? Somebody wrote me, and now I can't find it. I apologize. But somebody wrote me and asked, what about Dexter Lawrence with New England? I think Dexter Lawrence would be a great fit with the Patriots. He would be a massive upgrade to Malcolm Brown. A massive upgrade to Malcolm Brown in the middle of that Patriots defensive line. of course, Ramona, you're getting all the textures with the minus zero stuff. The ruthless people on the text line could not wait to get to Clemson Dad for minus zero.
No, because you said zero and he said minus zero. I knew the textures would be mean.
Yeah, and I've got multiple people saying it's projected to be the coldest game in Kansas City. And somebody sent me a link to an article that I cannot find now. I'd like to see that article because I had not seen that. But, you know, especially because, you know, this weekend in Kansas City, you had the snow, but they did a great job of clearing the field, and because it was a winter wonderland early in the day, but they did a great job of clearing the field and the stands for the most part. You know, people still found snow to throw snowballs, which Andy Reid later berated them for because, you know, they could have wound up being penalized for it eventually. But it was like 31 degrees, you know, so it wasn't real cold. Now, if we're talking about zero, that's an entirely different thing. And I, again, to my way of thinking, I just think the Patriots are, here it comes, Ramona. What? Dexter 201, I hear it's going to be plus zero. Quick break, Walt Tiptula Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar, plus zero. Nice.
Hey, Clemson basketball fans, your Clemson Tigers are back on the hardwood in Little John Coliseum on Wednesday, January 16th at 9 p.m. to take on the Yellow Jackets of Georgia Tech. You can purchase tickets to this game and other upcoming ACC matchups by visiting ClemsonTigers.com or by calling the ticket office at 1-800-CLEMSON. We'll see you in Little John Coliseum, loud and solid orange, for this key ACC matchup.
It's bow time at Bojangles. Get your choice of a four-piece Chicken Supreme snack or a two-piece chicken dinner for $3.99 each. That's a four-piece Supreme snack or a two-piece dinner, just $3.99 each for a limited time. Bojangles, it's bow time.
You don't have to wait for a win to start celebrating. The Upstate South Carolina Boat Show is back, and we have everything you need for living it up on the water. So whether you're looking for speed, fish, or a weekend cruiser, you'll find the best selection of this year's newest boat models, as well as the latest gear and accessories for the whole team. Go Tigers! And go to the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show, January 24th through the 27th at the Greenville Convention Center. Visit UpstateSCBoatShow.com for more.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
ACD Sports in Eastleigh says congrats to the Clemson Tigers. Our Clemson fan shop on Highway 123 in Eastleigh is loaded with a huge variety of national championship t-shirts, caps, magnets, flags, drinkware, license plates, and everything you need to show that pride and love for our national champion, Clemson Tigers. Visit our store and see our selection before you buy online. Buy local right here with Clemson fans like you. The Clemson Fan Shop at ACD Sports in Eastleigh on Highway 123 in the Hamrick Shopping Center.
Quag here for Hendrick Honda Easley. I've owned my Accord for several years, and I can tell you a Honda's the way to go. Hendrick Honda Easley has been in business 25 years, offering their customers a fair, fast, easy, and transparent experience. After you've purchased your new or pre-owned vehicle from Hendrick Honda Easley, believe me, their staff from service to finance is behind you 100%. See Hendrick Honda Easley online at HendrickHondaSC.com or in person at 4609 Calhoun Memorial Highway.
At CarMax, when we say we buy all the cars, we mean it. Over the last 20 years, we've purchased millions of cars from coast to coast. In the last year alone, we've bought a mountain of Mercuries, an armada of Nissans, a ton of Titans, an ocean of Pacificas, and a sea of Siennas. Not to mention a few Hellcats and a couple of Tornadoes. So no matter what you're selling, CarMax is buying. And we'll buy your car even if you don't buy ours. CarMax. We buy all the cars.
It's Road Rage with Walt Deptula on 105.5 The Roar.
If you got something to say, give me a call.
Back to Walt and Ramona.
Walt Tiptula Road Rage, we're WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Yeah, I'm seeing this weather thing now. An Arctic blast is allegedly going to be over the area, which means temperatures at kickoff could range from 10 degrees to well below zero. By the way, I'm on a text. Tom Brady has never lost a game at minus zero. The Texans are just absolutely ruthless people.
Yeah, they are.
It's just too funny. But hey, look, if this game is really going to be played at zero, I just think it makes it that much more interesting. That's football. You know, it's part of what makes it great to me. So I'm in favor of it. I'm in favor. You know why I'm in favor of it, Rona? Because I won't be sitting in those stands.
Yeah.
That's why I'm in favor of it because I won't
I
be sitting
cool
in
those. I think it's cool to watch.
Oh, yeah. From your comfort
with
of your home?
No.
Oh, yeah. We love it.
I think it's cool.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. Look.
Slipping and sliding.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
From your 68 degrees in your home, you know, kicking back on the couch and seeing their suffering. Oh, yeah. Yes. Look, we like suffering. We do. That's why we like all those B horror movies. By the way, if you need any more proof about the deterioration of American society, I give you this crap fest called The Masked Singer. I mean, if you need any more evidence about how Americans love dumb stuff.
What is this?
Oh, I don't even know. I have just seen... I've seen commercials for it. I've seen it trending on Twitter. It's these quasi celebrities, like these wash ups, like Tommy Chung or whatever his name is, who dress up in these ridiculous outfits and apparently they sing. And it's the job of some panel to guess who's in the costume. I mean,
that's the show.
Yeah, that's the show. This shows you.
Why?
This shows
Why would you want to watch that?
Exactly. I mean, and yet it looks like it's a hit here because we.
It's a hit.
Honestly, we are at a point in history where we are the dumbest we have ever been, where that passes for entertainment. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. It is. Trust me, we're coming to an end. I mean, it just is.
I'm not a reality TV fan.
No, the signs are everywhere. I mean, we are quickly coming to an end. Look, this past weekend, I still have so many things to get to. This past weekend in the NFL, by the way, the Isaiah Simmons watch is in full swing. I would think that with every passing hour, it becomes less and less likely that Isaiah Simmons is leaving for the NFL. I mean, this is logical. I mean, is he going to be the last guy to declare? I mean, almost everybody else who needed to declare has declared. And as Ben points out, he was at the White House festivities. Now, you do have till midnight to submit your paperwork. So there's that.
Well, now you get to go to the White House whether you declare or not, right? What?
No, if you declare, they say, screw you, you're
no,
not going.
No, you said it like you said.
No.
You said they're
no,
saying
no,
that he was
no,
at the White House.
No.
Like that had something to do
what
with
I'm
it.
What I'm saying is he's busy with other activities. And so... that might interfere. So in other words, if declaring was part of his plan, he might have declared earlier. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. It wasn't one or the other. It wasn't a one or the other thing. Text writes, that just happened. It did. It did just happen. That happens almost every day on road rage, quite honestly. Roger, I'll get to you in a minute. You know, these games from this weekend... I think if you're a San Diego fan, you have to be enormously disappointed with that effort because you just got stomped. I mean, you know, that final score is like the most deceiving final score in history. Was it 41-28? Because it could have been 60-10. I mean, if the Patriots wanted to put 60 up or 70, they could have. San Diego couldn't stop them at all. They eventually just took their foot off the gas. And San Diego scored some garbage points to make themselves feel better. But, I mean, it was just a total wipeout in favor of the Patriots, and they were outplayed, outcoached. Brady did anything he wanted, threw for like 400 yards, completed like 75% of his throws. Sony Michel rushed for like 130 or whatever it was. Edelman had like 150 receiving. White had 15 receptions. I mean, just across the board, it was just a total bully beatdown. The Patriots had 347 yards of offense in the first half of an NFL game. That's, you know, almost unheard of. And, I think if there was a disappointing team from this past weekend, it had to be San Diego. I mean, they had to be the disappointing team because, I mean, I gave out New England -4 on Twitter. I picked the Patriots and picked them to cover, but I didn't imagine that. I didn't imagine that total bully beatdown that was inflicted upon the Chargers. And I'm still saying San Diego, Rona, by the way.
I know. You know, last week I was writing it. I wasn't thinking nothing of it.
Yeah. Just to be clear, the LA Chargers, in the event there's any confusion, who should still be in San Diego. The LA Rams, another team with no home field advantage, took care of the Cowboys. That was a pretty interesting game. The Rams really dominated the game, but the Cowboys had a chance late to get back in it. And now the Cowboys are doing all this self-evaluation and thinking that there's something wrong with them. Well, I'll tell you what's wrong with you. You're not as good as the Rams. That's what's wrong with you. So if that leads you to change up elements of who you are and what you do or elements of your coaching situation, like Linehan, then so be it. But the truth is you're not as good. And so you lost to a team that was fundamentally better. And by the way, they were fundamentally better than you all year. So I don't know what would have made you think you were going to win. I'm sorry. And then the Indy Kansas City game, Andrew Luck. Well, first of all, every person on that Colt offense was terrible. The offensive line was terrible. The running backs terrible. The receivers terrible. Andrew Luck terrible. But Andrew Luck looked like he couldn't throw a football 10 yards again. Look, all year I've told you, you know, this is not the old Andrew Luck. Don't believe the nonsense. He still has enormous arm strength issues. He can't throw a football 50 yards. This was true all year. They had just changed the nature of their offense. They were capitalizing on the remaining strengths that he has. He's like a fastball pitcher who's lost his fastball, so now he's become a junk ball pitcher. That's what Andrew Luck is. He's made the transformation from fastball pitcher to junk ball pitcher. And guess what? Junk ball pitchers don't win the playoffs. So Andrew Luck was just dreadful. And the Chiefs just totally dominated the game. Now, the Chiefs sort of stopped playing. And I thought got too, you know, fancy for their own good. And almost let the Colts back in a little bit, but it was never in doubt. And then New Orleans and Philly, and look, we can stop now with the Nick Foles stuff. The Nick Foles magic died. Nick Foles played one good quarter, and he was pretty much terrible for three quarters, and that's the truth about who Nick Foles is. Nick Foles is a backup quarterback for a reason. He had his one little moment. It's never going to be repeated. The starting quarterback in Philadelphia next year is going to be Carson Wentz. Now, they may try and keep Foles. And, you know, I heard Pat Kerwin one night discussing this, and Kerwin, the former GM, and he seems to think that they'll be able to retain both of them financially, and that's the smart thing to do. And I would agree, because until you can determine that Carson Wentz can be your every down quarterback from a health standpoint, I think it's a really good security blanket to have Nick Foles around. Having said that, there's absolutely no doubt, none, that a healthy Carson Wentz is light years better than Nick Foles. I'm sorry. I don't know what people are watching or thinking about. Foles throws lollipops up in the air, and all of a sudden Jeffrey comes down with them. But he can't elude pressure. He can't evade pressure. Wentz is a better arm talent, is a much better athlete and is a much younger player. He is the future of your franchise, just to be clear. Now, could it prove that Wentz is a guy who just can't stay healthy? Yes. But until you're at that point, he's still the plan. You know, people need to remember, he tore two ligaments, not one. The recovery time for that deal is really like 18 months to be effective on a playing field. He was actually back earlier than he should have been. He, just for comparison's sake, his injury was significantly worse than Deshaun Watson's. Back to the phones. Roger, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Walt.
Good, Roger. Appreciate you getting in, as always.
Yeah, I picked the Patriots. I told you Friday, but I thought it was going to be close. I did not see a blowout coming, and I also didn't see – I gotta apologize to Rob. He's not Rob Gronkowski. He was blocking yesterday.
Yeah. Well,
he got one big pass, but while he was blocking,
yeah,
his tail
and look,
off,
he always man. Gives that. You know, look, when I've criticized him moving like a three-legged pregnant water buffalo, I've always added that he's a dominant inline blocker. And
they were just running basic draw plays.
Yeah, they mashed him.
Beating physically these San Diego or LA Charger defensive end and tackles. Just blowing them up.
Yep.
And Sonny Michel ran great. James White, Burkhead scored a touchdown. I mean, we could have won, and it just wasn't our game. We could have won 55-16.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think perhaps even more. I mean, I fully believe that if the Patriots really wanted to, they would have scored 60. The Chargers couldn't stop anything.
I'm glad we didn't.
Yeah.
I'm glad we didn't because we're going to need to keep fresh. And save energy because we're going to have a bigger, much tougher challenge in Kansas City with the weather and with that team. But what you were talking about a minute ago, the three games were really over by the third quarter, middle, and even early in the third quarter. The Rams completely controlled the Cowboys, much like the Patriots on the ground. Just the running game with Anderson and Gurley. Dallas has got some evaluating to do. But what you were talking about a second ago, I think the guy, and I'm tired of him getting off the hook. I'm tired of this and protect Andrew Luck media. I didn't hear very much in the terms of what you were talking about with his lack of arm strength. The Chiefs were not threatened or fearful of Andrew Luck beating them. He was 0 for 9 on third down. He was throwing balls right into the arm of Kansas City defenders for tip ball. He now has a very dubious playoff record. And
oh, yeah.
I'm no fan of Peyton. I'm no fan of Walt. You know I'm
Roger,
not a fan of Peyton.
Roger, look, in that look, I don't know if the cold impacted the nature of his injury, but he literally couldn't throw a football 20 yards.
No, he couldn't, and they knew he couldn't, and they weren't afraid of him. And by the second quarter, it was very obvious that he was not going to scare anybody on third down. And he wasn't going to scare anybody throwing the ball down the field. But what I didn't hear, though, I don't hear anybody criticize him. I remember there, well, we can count on hands and toes the number of quarterbacks who have completely failed to deliver in the playoffs, big-name quarterbacks, and the media just tears into them. For some reason, Andrew Luck is made of Teflon.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. It's exactly right. I think it's a combination of things. I think the first thing, Roger, is so many people believed he was going to be the greatest quarterback ever that those people are still, even at this advanced stage, reluctant to go back on what they said originally and say, you know, well, maybe we didn't have that quite right. So I think that's one thing. I think that Andrew Luck website, the Captain Andrew Luck thing on Twitter, I think that helps Andrew Luck. I think it makes Andrew Luck this likable character. And then in real life, Andrew Luck is likable. He always has time
it's
to
not,
talk. He smiles.
Yeah.
You know, he's a nice guy. So, you know.
Well, I'm no fan of Peyton Manning. I pulled against him much of his whole career. I'm a Patriots fan. But, Walt, I remember Peyton Manning's first few years, his first 7 or 8 years in Indianapolis, it was always an early exit, and he never made the Super Bowl until 2007. Andrew Luck is now at the same stage in his career. But I don't hear anybody ripping him like they did Peyton Manning. And I'd be the first one to rip Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
And
well, I am.
I'm just saying, Andrew Luck is escaping this criticism from everybody. During the telecast, I heard no criticism. After the game on ESPN and yesterday on ESPN, none of the people on there took Andrew Luck to task and said, where was he?
And look,
for some reason, right, and he's anybody, a Houdini. He escapes every time.
Right, and anybody who watched that game realize from a physical skill set standpoint, Andrew Luck doesn't look like an NFL quarterback anymore. He just doesn't. And quite honestly, he hasn't all year. They've just been able to mask it. And then I think, this is my guess. I'm guessing the cold weather, from a warming of the muscle standpoint, probably didn't help whatever the exact nature of his shoulder injury is. But it looked bad. And again, if people actually are paying attention, it's looked bad all year. They brought in other quarterbacks to throw Hail Marys at the end of games. He has not thrown a ball. I believe the longest ball he has thrown in the air is 50 yards. And the vast majority of his throws have been much shorter than that. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I think it's helped him. In a way, I think it's helped him become a better player because he doesn't hold the ball quite as long, and he's not as interception prone, even though he still is throwing a lot of interceptions, especially late in the season.
Well, look, but you know, while coming into this game, the Colts, a lot of people, especially the media, were on their bandwagon and were pushing them because they were on a hot streak, and they had just beat Houston pretty bad, and they were hot the whole last 10 weeks of the season. But that team just didn't show up Saturday, and Andrew Luck didn't show up. Now, I did see him take one bad hit, and maybe cold weather is a part of it.
Yeah.
But if we're at the point with this in this kid's career where he's 28 years old and he's relegated to being an indoor dome stadium quarterback, that's not good.
He's 29. He's headed for 30.
Well, at this stage of his career, a lot of other quarterbacks have gotten more done in the postseason. And everybody, I'm just saying, Walt, they had the defense. It takes leadership, too, sometimes. It takes more than physical. It takes mental toughness and leadership. I'm not sure he has those qualities. But they're stuck with him, and they're stuck with a big contract. And if Houston, Texas can get their act together and get Deshaun Watson more weapons, and I'm going to say it again, maybe a better coach, and quit making J.J. Watt the focus of that team because he's not.
Good job, Roger.
I think Houston could dominate the South. All right, Walt.
Good job. I have to run. I appreciate it, as always. Yep, that's an excellent job. Texas said Brady has made a career out of dinking and ducking. Well, yeah, that's sort of a misnomer. Brady has had seasons where many seasons he's been the best deep ball thrower in the game. He hasn't always had those weapons. And so they have to adjust that offense based on the weapons he has. You know, if you don't have anybody who gets deep, you can't throw it deep. It's what it comes down to. But even, I think it was last year and the year before, he was first or second in yards per attempt. So, I think people have that perception sometimes. But, right now, they're going to do a lot of that because they don't have a field stretcher, especially with no Gordon. There's no field stretcher in the mix. Philip Dorsett, in theory, has speed to get deep. Tiny, you'll still be up. We have a ton of things to get to, and we have like 10 minutes to do it. Walt Tiptula, Road Rage, quick break.
Clemson Nation celebrates.
This ball game is over.
Your Clemson Tigers are the 2019 national champions.
They come to California and strike gold.
All season long.
Etienne cuts it to the 15, he's at the 10, at the 5, stays on his feet, headed for the end zone, and in.
Every great play.
Under pressure, they got him in second at the 9-yard line.
Every victory in this historic season.
Oh, what a play for the Clemson defense.
Right here on the Clemson Tigers Network.
Clemson once again paints the
The Clemson Tigers, first ever 15-0 team in modern history. National champions.
Clemson downs Alabama 44-16 to win their second national championship in 3 years.
Congratulations from the Clemson Tigers Network.
Congratulations to Dabo Swinney and the Clemson Tigers for winning the third national championship. You caught it all right here on the flagship station for Clemson Athletics, WCCP 105.5 The Roar.
You have cracks in your driveway, sidewalk, or settling pool decks? Why tear it out when you can lift it? Canty Foundation Specialists can raise concrete slabs back to its original position using our patented PolyLevel process. Call Canty today at 864-475-1671. Don't replace it, raise it. 475-1671 or visit us at CantyFoundationSC.com.
Are you ready to go all in on a car? Granger Nissan knows what car will fit you and your family because they are a leader in the market with competitive inventory. They have everything for everyone. Granger Nissan is a family business, so they know the importance of taking care of the ones we love on the road. You can drive with confidence and ease because Granger Nissan has all new vehicles with a lifetime powertrain warranty. Granger Nissan is not just in the car business, they're in the people business. Stop by Granger Nissan of Anderson on 3510 Clemson Boulevard.
You don't have to wait for a win to start celebrating. The Upstate South Carolina Boat Show is back, and we have everything you need for living it up on the water. So whether you're looking for speed, fish, or a weekend cruiser, you'll find the best selection of this year's newest boat models, as well as the latest gear and accessories for the whole team. Go Tigers! And go to the Upstate South Carolina Boat Show, January 24th through the 27th at the Greenville Convention Center. Visit UpstateSCBoatShow.com for more.
Buying a mattress can be a difficult process, but that can all change with one visit to Engineered Sleep. They are a mattress manufacturer that opened their doors to the public. You get factory direct pricing, a mattress made just for you, and free delivery all over the upstate. Your mattress will be made and delivered within 1 to 5 days. It is always great to buy local, but when you buy from Engineered Sleep, you are truly buying from the best. Their showroom at 627 Congaree Road in Greenville is open Monday through Saturday. Sleep like a champion with your Engineered Sleep.
Does your South Carolina driver's license or ID have a gold star? If not, make the switch to a real ID today. You may be eligible to purchase your real ID online at scdmvonline.com or visit the SCDMV with all required documents to purchase your real ID before the lines grow. The deadline will be here before you know it, so make sure your ID is a real ID to board a plane, enter a federal building, or visit a military installation today. More information at scdmvonline.com.
Brock here with Tom's Barbecue to let you know about our catering services. Tom's Barbecue caters to many corporate events and wants to help your business boost morale with a great meal to guarantee that your employees leave work happier and fuller. Choose from any of our catering packages or pick a la carte from our menu. You will even receive 25% off of your first order when you mention WCCP. So what are you waiting for? Call 864-288-2652. Tom's Barbecue at the corner of Woodruff and Garlington in Greenville.
Head to Bojangles for 3 breakfast biscuit combos for just $4 each. Choose from the country ham biscuit, sausage and egg biscuit, or steak biscuit. Bojangles, it's bow time.
Homeowners and landscapers choose EnviroMulch, a locally owned, environmentally friendly company. They supply quality organic mulches, soil, sand, and stone for every landscaping application, delivery, or pickup. Nobody beats their prices. EnviroMulchOnline.com.
His bark is worse than his bite. It's Road Rage with Walt Steptula on 105.5 The Roar.
We're dealing with a great deal of power.
Now, back to Walt and Ramona.
Mel Stottlemyer passed. I think he was 77, I want to say. Mel Stottlemyer, a Yankee legend as a pitcher, beat Bob Gibson in a World Series game as a rookie and went on to be a great pitching coach as well with the Yankees modern dynastic teams under Joe Torre. So it was very sad to hear that. Very unfortunate. You know, we have a couple things, Tiny, I'm coming to you. Some of the All-Star games are already coming up. The NFLPA game and the East-West Shrine game. And Mark Fields is playing in one of those games. I think Fields is playing in the NFLPA game, I believe. And then the East-West Shrine game, Taylor Cornelius is going to be in that game. You know, there's some interesting quarterbacks in that game. Not, you know, the top flight quarterbacks. Most of those are going to be at the Senior Bowl, but Jordan Ta'amu, David Blau from Purdue, Brett Rypien, Marcus McMarion. You know, McMarion doesn't have a huge arm, but I like McMarion more than I like some of these other sort of fringe draftable quarterbacks. I think McMarion is a leader. I think he's extremely accurate, extremely accurate. He's gotten better and better as well. And his arm is even a little better than people think. But, you know, I mentioned this before. I think Taylor Cornelius bears watching. If you're looking for like a leader guy that you can take a shot on, I mean, he's 6'5", 6'6", and 240 pounds. And he has a big arm. I mean, Yeah, I've mentioned this repeatedly during the season, Ramona. Oklahoma State did not have a good year because the whole operation is soft. But when the year started, and I first saw this Cornelius guy on the football field, he looked like the Frankenstein monster. I mean, it looked like he couldn't move at all, like he had cement shoes. There was nothing about his game that looked good. And then through the course of the year, as he gained confidence, he just sort of blossomed. And in the second half of the year, he was actually running the ball effectively. But mostly he was carving people up. I mean, he kept posting these enormous passing numbers. And I think he has the physical tools to work with. He hasn't played a ton of football, but I think he's a guy with traits. This is where you find guys with traits late in the draft, especially quarterbacks. And late in the draft, he's a guy with traits. You know, so if I don't have a quarterback or I'm looking for a backup quarterback and I get a guy who's 6'6 and 240 and moves better than you would think and has a big arm and carved up people the whole second half of the year, there's a reason to take a shot on a guy like that because he has traits. Tiny with the Cornbread Report. Tiny, what's going on?
I just out here putting up some fence, like some chicken wire around two trees, and then you pour some corn down in there. And next month and the month after, the bucks will start dropping their horns.
Uh-huh.
And you want them to come up to that fence. When they go to eat, they'll knock their horns off. That way you can kind of tell how good your buck herd is for next year. Hey, there's your one for today. All your vining plants are dormant right now, so you can move muscadines around if you need to get them in a better spot to help you next season, as you say, to help you cheat a little bit.
Yeah.
Make it a little easier
for your
deer viewing pleasure.
That's right. There you go. So any other news in the field in the last, since we last spoke? No other records?
No. I'm waiting on a few more records to come in. You know, deer season finally ended and duck season's going to be ending here soon. So then they'll start coming out with the record for all the alligators and the bear and the ducks and the deer. So we'll, you know, we're anxiously awaiting those numbers to get in right now, so we can do some. We can report that.
I like it. I like it, Tiny. So there's our helpful hint for today.
There you go.
So, now is that your little boy making all that noise?
Let me tell you. About 8 years ago, I met the woman of my dreams, and so I thought. So yeah, I love her so much, I decided to make a miniature version of her, and I promise you, at 2 years old, she considers everything a challenge.
There you go.
And if you don't believe that, buddy, I'm going to tell you, get yourself a two-year-old and a Sharpie and see how long you last.
And what's her name?
Willow.
Willow. I like that. I like that. Well, say hello. Say
hello.
Say hello to Willow. Hey, Willow. Hey, Willow. Keep your dad in line there.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I told the wife it's got to be the Pope, Ed McMahon, or Willow is the only three people that I'm letting interrupt me on the phone wall.
There you go. It's all good. Thank you, Tiny.
All right.
It's getting louder.
Yeah.
Willow is demanding.
Yeah, she figured out she was being talked about.
And then she started demanding more airtime.
That's right.
Or she was going to use that pen, Sharpie on the wall. Hey, Dad, it's my turn to talk, Dad. Watch what I can draw on the wall with this Sharpie. Willow. You know, I was thinking of, I do like that name, though. Don't you like that name?
Yeah.
You don't seem sure. You can say it. I'm sure it won't upset little Willow.
No,
she's not listening anymore anyway.
I'm not thinking to upset her.
No, it seems like you're, you maybe don't like it. Is that what you're saying? You're free. It's America.
It's a good name.
Okay, so you don't like it. What's wrong with Willow?
I don't know.
I sort of like Willow.
That's good.
Yeah. Willow. Now, it depends what the last name is. You know, I mean, because first names have to somehow merge with last names.
Yeah, they do. And we don't know Tiny's
like
last
mine
name.
Really doesn't. It doesn't really go. Yours, I don't know that goes either. But like if their last name was like Wallow, that probably wouldn't be a good name. Willow Wallow. Right.
No.
So, you know, you need an appropriate name. Unless you're just a fan of, you know, alliteration. By the way, we had a couple more big name players declared today. Devin White, the LSU linebacker, will be a top 20 type pick. And TJ Hockenson, the Iowa tight end. You know, it's amazing that Iowa could have two tight ends as good as they had. And I was going to say, and didn't get more out of them. They did get a lot out of them. Font was hurt, and Font, you know, stepped out at the end of the process. But those two guys could both conceivably be round one draft picks. You know, Font is, you know, if you're just evaluating the receiving ability, he's probably the better looking player. But Hockenson brings a lot to the table, including he's one of the rare tight ends in today's football that actually seems to enjoy blocking. It's not just that he's a willing blocker. He actually seems to enjoy it. You know, I was also thinking ahead to next year about the quarterbacks in college football. And by the way, somebody asked me to run on the text line to give him my educated opinion as to where Trevor Lawrence would land. I have no idea. It's looking ahead too far. I don't have the foggiest idea. I'd just be guessing. And I don't really do guessing. But you look ahead to this next college football season, and you're going to have Trevor Lawrence and Tua Tagovailoa and Justin Herbert and Justin Fields in all likelihood run that Ohio State show. And you know, on a lesser level, I think Fromm at Georgia, et cetera. But you're going to have some truly elite quarterback play around the country. And again, you may see some freshmen enter that mix as well, because I think Oklahoma's starting quarterback is going to be Spencer Rattler. And I think he's going to pick up right where these other guys have left off. People keep expecting this drop-off. I'm not sure you get a drop-off when you go from a guy as good as Mayfield to a guy as good as Murray, to a guy as good as Rattler, and they're coached up in that system. Now, Rattler's going to be a true freshman, and that'll impact that to some degree. But I think you're going to have another a really good quarterback year in college football. Yeah, Martinez at Nebraska, who I think is going to be incredible. I think he already showed a lot of signs this year. I think Nebraska's fortunes are about to change under Scott Frost with Martinez at quarterback. You have Daniels at USC, who's a really gifted player. There are going to be a lot of talented quarterbacks around the country next year. So it's going to be a really interesting year in college football. Look, everything starts with quarterback and offensive line. And I don't think this year was necessarily a banner year on paper for quarterbacks, but it sort of turned out to be. it sort of turned out to be. Now, I think next year on paper is a banner year for quarterbacks. Let me tell you about George Coleman Ford. Cars cost less in Travelers Rest. There are never any dealer fees or service fees in Travelers Rest. That's George Coleman Ford. They've been doing it the right way for 90 years. Do you even know what your neighborhood looked like 90 years ago? Do you know what your downtown area, wherever you live, if you have one, do you know what it looked like 90 years ago? Think about the absurdity of a car dealership still being there from 90 years ago. It's almost impossible. But that's what George Coleman Ford has done. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, I'm like 100% certain, I won't be here to see it, but that they'll be here 90 years from now. Because they treat people right. You go read the reviews, that's what everyone talks about. By the way, Rona, on display, they have this incredibly cool new Ford Ranger, which was just sleek looking. It was sharp, sharp, sharp. I guess I would call it like a cinnamon color. I don't know what they call it, but call them, find out. I'm done. I'll see you tomorrow.
From the Priority One Security Studios, we are WCCP, Clemson, Greenville. 105.5, The Roar.